Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing in His people. I thank the Lord for another day and all the mighty works of God. As I understand the Holy Spirit, I know that He's not wasteful. He chooses people strategically, and He blesses them to do His perfect will. And those that and in the last days, I know that the Lord is working, and He's working through people. You can't see the work of God at all times. Sometimes the greater things that He's doing, you won't see it till He reveals it. But the works are strategic, and I thank God for it. Every person that has it in their heart to obey Him, that's what God is looking for. And He knows what's out there. He knows where the pockets of people who will hear Him, He knows where they're at. And He knows how to win them. But as we yield ourselves to the Lord, then we get it. We learn to we become operatives of the strategy. You know, he'll call us and He'll give us His wisdom, and as we act on it, we can fulfill a specific need. He'll use us to minister to people where they're at. And now through YouTube and media, the internet, we can reach people we couldn't reach before. And then the Lord, he will move on people to sometimes pray for people. He may show you a vision and have you pray for somebody that has a need. Or He'll send pastors and evangelists to go places where they will definitely be effective. See, a hungry heart attracts God. And anybody that will yield themselves to Him, they attract the Holy Spirit. There are things that we do that attract the Holy Spirit. Now, at the new birth, we receive the baptism. We receive the Holy Spirit on the inside. And we receive the Holy Spirit upon us when we speak in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit within and upon. And that's wonderful. But we don't always feel His presence or sense His presence. God controls whether we sense His presence or not. But whether we do or don't, He's still there. But when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we attract Him. And He will, He does what I, you know, the Lord pointed out that the Holy Spirit came on Jesus in the form of a dove and rested on Him and remained. The Lord will be with us, and He's with us, in us, and He's upon us. But when we do the things that we should do, when we live by our faith, when we live in a state of yielding to the Lord, we attract the Holy Spirit, and He'll rest on us, and He'll remain on us too. And when that happens, there's nothing we can't do in Him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. But when people are troubled, when they change their mind and opinions, they repel the Holy Spirit. If they get in pride, they're in opposition to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can't rest on them. If they get in strife with somebody, the Holy Spirit can't rest on them. Husbands and wives, they start fighting. You know, they start a fussing match. The Holy Spirit can't rest on that couple until they yield. But when we live in a state of yielding to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will rest on us. And all the challenges that come our way, as we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, He'll help us understand how to kill those challenges. And I like to use that word kill because it's final. I don't believe in lingering temptations. I don't believe in allowing things to linger. You can't give Satan any chance. You can't give him any seed room in your heart. You can't give the devil no seed room in your heart, because he wants to find a way in. He wants to find a way to trap you, slow you down, bring a wedge between you and the Holy Spirit. Because he knows that the Holy Spirit won't rest on a person when they're in opposition to him. And all the unbridled desires of the flesh and of lust. And lust doesn't have to be after the flesh. You can lust after things. Your devotion can be towards things so bad that that can disrupt your relationship with the Holy Spirit too. You know, I desire a specific type of new car. But it's just a car. It's not going to do what the Holy Spirit will do in my life. It's just a car. and when the rapture comes, I'm going to leave that car here. I don't put things on a pedestal or people either. Because God, we have the seven manifested, the Holy Spirit manifests himself seven ways. We have the seven manifested manifestations of the Holy Spirit in us. If we need wisdom, we have the Holy Spirit will manifest as wisdom, whether knowledge, might, counsel, the Spirit of the Lord. We can ask him whatever we want to. Seven is the number of completion. All right. We're complete in him. There's a party going on in my heart all the time. And I like it. I prayed for that. I said, I was in the Lord's presence. I said, Lord, I want to live like I do in your presence all the time. And at my worst moments in life, the Lord would always show me what to do. So I'm saying these things because I've done those things. And I want to keep doing those things. I want to live yielded to the Holy Spirit so that he'll never desire to leave. Now, he said he's in us and he's upon us. He'll never leave or forsake you. But he don't have to like it. He don't have to be at rest upon you. I want him to want to be on me. I want him to desire. I want fellowship between me and God. I don't ever want that breached. And when it's time for me to do something, I want to be doing it. When it's time for me to say something, I want to be saying it. I don't want to have any reserves. Now, reserves is the part that we hold back. That's what we hold back on purpose. But I want to be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. If he wants me to say something to a person, I want to be at peace with it. And every time I was apprehensive about saying something to people that God told me to say, sometimes, you know, you talk yourself out of it sometimes. But I had said I'd obey him, so I'd make myself do it. And I would be very apprehensive, sometimes afraid to do it. But I learned that every time I acted on what he said, it was always wonderful. Always. And some people received it more than others. But it was always necessary. And most of the time, it was better than I thought it would be. Until I got used to it. And a lot of people are very receptive to a fresh word from the Lord. So when God give you a word, enjoy the process and speak that word boldly and bravely. Because God is with you. I want him to rest on me. And this time on this broadcast, we're going to pick up where we left off. Now, the Lord had me reading about Balaam. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And the Lord told him not to go. You know, we read it in the last website broadcast. So this time we're going to continue where we left off. I'm going to back up a little bit because I saw some things yesterday that I would love to say today. Now, I'm going to start at verse 21. we made it to around verse 31. But I'm going to start at verse 21. Because that, I saw some good things that we need to talk about. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled again, God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw that the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." Now this is powerful, folks. Verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Balaam did these things because the desire of the riches and the prestige and the prominent people that Balak sent to him turned his heart from the position that it was in the first place. At first he told the people to go back. He should have done the same thing again. And after this, he really should have stopped in his tracks. When the Lord say do something, we need to trust what he's saying. A lot of problems happen because of this man's disobedience. And now I want to say something about the ass. Animals used to talk. After the fall, they became dumb and they can't talk. When the ass was trying to avoid the angel and protect, Balaam, the word says, and the Lord, verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee?" She spoke intelligently. "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" She could count. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I wish there were a sword in my hand now, and I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever in lack or want to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. She spoke from memory. It didn't say the Lord made her talk. The Lord opened her mouth, loosed her vocal cords. And this is what she said. This is what the ass said. She spoke intelligently. She spoke with memory. She asked questions. Anybody that can ask a question is intelligent. Anybody that can ask a question is intelligent. And this was a donkey, an ass. And she did all these. This really happened. This is why men can train animals. And animals that are around humans long enough can learn language, but they just can't speak. Because the Lord, all he did was open up her tongue. Open her mouth. Loosed her vocal cords. She spoke from memory. She could count. And this is the word of God. Now, if I believe the rest of the word of God, why not this? Animals used to speak. The serpent he spoke to Eve in the garden. So, but because of sin, animals don't need to be speaking unless the Lord opened their mouth. Now, but this was to warn Balaam. The Lord was going to defend Israel because he made a covenant with Father Abraham. Now, I said in the last broadcast that when people turn their heart, God is not wasteful. If you're not on his side, you're against him, you're an opponent, and you will be treated as an opponent, just like Balaam was. The angel of the Lord was going to kill him. But God had mercy on him. And he also repurposed him. Instead of him being the prophet of God, he's doing the work of a witch. That's what he ends up doing, the work of a witch. The work of a rebellious man. And so that's why the angel was got in his path to be an adversary against him. But now the discourse of what happens, you know, and this is not God's best, but God could give us an illustration that we need, because it was going to be recorded by another prophet called Moses. And I'm going to tell you something. Balaam was really a prophet. He prophesied some of the things that's going to happen in Revelation. And if you study these chapters, you'll see it. He prophesied these things that before Moses got a chance to do it. So he had a close relationship with the Lord, but his heart turned. That's the point we're trying to show. That's what we're trying to illustrate. Even though you have a good heart, you have to protect it from the seeds that from Satan's seeds. He sowed seeds of discord in the man's heart through greed. The devil deals with what you can see, what you can feel and touch right now. He'll stir up his people to give you whatever you want as long as you separate from God. He'll try to get you distracted. But all of it is garbage. Everything in this world is garbage compared to the life of God and what he gives you to do. So you can't take these things with you, but you can take people with you. That's what's important. Everything that you can appreciate on this earth is a bonus. Even the best of our relationships is a bonus. And it's very important to us. My relationship with God is very important. That's most important. Because without that, I can't be the man I need to be for the people I love. And then the people in my life are very important. And then the things I want, they're important too. And in that order. They're important to me. But I know that the truck I like, the house I live in, the swimming pool I swim in, all these things I enjoy and take care of. And I put a lot of time and effort into it. I'm going to get raptured out of here. And this stuff's going to be left behind. And I even prayed and I said, in the tribulation, bless the most honorable people to find this stuff. You know, because it's going to be here. And I don't want it to go to the crooked government, because it would be crooked by then. I want it to go to people that's trying to escape. So I asked, you know, even in that, I said, Lord, bless people who are here to use what I got to escape, because they got to get away. But the people are more important, and your relationship with God is most important. And Balaam betrayed everybody. Because when you betray God, you betray everybody you was going to help. This man had a strong anointing on his life. But you have to protect your heart. Now, verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest not unto me? Am not I able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjathuzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam, and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Now, he gave him all these gifts and let it marinate a day. And the next day he took him up there. He let him rest, and Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Now watch verse 1, chapter 23, verse 1. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to the high place, and God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all his princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said to Balak, the king of Moab. And he took up this parable and he said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom God has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? The fourth part? Wow. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done to me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them together. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from there. And he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and 7 bullocks and a ram on every altar. Balak was very desperate, very desperate, very fearful. And fear always works to attach Satan to your life. Fear is a driver. It has no foundation. The children of Israel, they were not going to harm Moab. He had nothing to fear. He had no foundation for his fear. They were just passing through. They had no interest in Moab. They were never going to bother Moab. Moab is the descendants of Lot. And Lot came out with Father Abraham. But Balak had this fear because of what he saw. And he was very afraid and terrified. He was terrified of him. So he was in fear. His fear was in overdrive. Now, and he was very desperate. Now, we can learn a lesson from this, because when you really want to know something, you can learn it. When you really want to get ahead, or really want to, you're motivated to learn something from the Lord, you can learn it. Because Balak is going to end up getting a clue from Balaam. And I'm really not sure whether Balaam did it on purpose or not. He may have, because he did want the money. And Jesus said he did. But when I read the scriptures, I read what Jesus said in Revelation, how he taught Balak to curse Israel. And I read it several times looking for how he did it, because it looked like he was always honoring God. But I found it, and we're going to get to that. All right. Verse 15. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say this, and say thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what has the Lord spoken? And he took up this his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee into another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse them from there. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looks toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Now verses 21 and 24. This is how Balak learned what to do. Verse 21 said, He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Verse 23 says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath